So we are grateful, Lord, for this opportunity to be with you tonight and to stand under your word. And Lord, to be drawn more deeply into the mystery of who you are. We praise you and bless your name. Reminded of a young priest just finishing his theology school and full of all the things you learn in theology. He's preaching on Trinity Sunday and he decided to tell them about the processions in the Holy Spirit. That you learn in theology that the first procession in the Holy Spirit is when the Word proceeds from the Father. And then the second procession is when the Father and the Son breathe the Holy Spirit. He thought he'd done a great job, and everyone was very impressed, he thought. Outside afterwards, this old lady came up to him, a very devout woman. She says, "Oh, Father, what time did you say the procession was?" Now, it's interesting, up at Garran, when we have the catechism classes on the Trinity, it's always interesting to watch the brothers. They go through mental agony as we try to explain the dynamics of the Trinity, three persons in one. And of course, you can't explain it. It's impossible, isn't it? It's like St. Augustine, you know, he was trying to nut it out, one of the great minds of the Church. And he was trying to nut it out one day and working it through, three in one, one in three, all that sort of thing. And he's walking along a beach and there's this little boy there who had a hole in the beach and he was just carrying some water from the ocean and putting it in that little hole. And Augustine stopped. He said, "Oh, look, son, what are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm just going to put the ocean into this little hole." And he said, "Well, that's impossible." And the boy said, "Well, of course, that's impossible too for you to put the Trinity into your mind, right? And for it to be contained in your mind." And then the boy disappeared. It was an angel, obviously. But we're not here to nut out the problem because it's not meant to be a problem. It's mystery to be lived. And a mystery to be certainly proclaimed, but to be lived. And we're not here to be solving the mystery, but to be grasped by the mystery. To be drawn more deeply into the mystery of who God is in our lives as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You have been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's not accidental. That's the beginning of your life with the Trinity. And more accurately, it's the beginning of a life of the Trinity within you. And it's a promise of where you are headed, of where you are going. You are destined to be with God forever, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You're destined to be caught up in the immensity of the love between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit forever. You're destined to be plunged into the mystery of the infinite God forever and ever and ever. How wonderful is that? I was reading an account just recently, actually, of a correspondent, a journalist who died recently in another country, in Ireland it was, and she had given a bit of a interview to people just before she died because she only had a month from the time she was diagnosed with cancer to when she died. And listening, or just reading this interview, you could just see that this poor woman, as much as she was a very famous journalist, She had no faith. She didn't believe in God, and she believed she was going to the void, into an emptiness of nothingness. And as soon as she was diagnosed with cancer, she said, it was as if the lights went out, and everything that was beautiful before me now became ugly. My own life made no sense at all. I was going nowhere. And I wished for yesterday, but yesterday was gone. And I have no future. My friends, what we celebrate today is our future is God. What we celebrate today is that he has taken hold of your life and mine, chosen from all eternity as you are, to be with him forever. And that's a great consolation to my aging body, and to some of you too. That we're going somewhere. We are destined for glory. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, or heart of man conceived what God has in store for those who love him. How wonderful is that? But it's good news that it's not only heaven in the future, but we experience heaven now. You see, heaven is God, and we experience him now. Through your baptism, he dwells within you. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is within you. You don't have to go on a pilgrimage to Rome or to Medjugorje or to Fatima to find the living God. It's a good thing to go to those places. But the living God is within you. But unfortunately, because we are so much part of our culture, we live our lives outside of ourselves, falling onto all sorts of things in a sensate way, looking for pleasure, looking for excitement and new experiences that will fill up our days and fill up our years and go on another trip somewhere, get another exciting sort of traveling experience. And yet, God is within us. And there's a journey that each one has to take interiorly. St. Augustine expressed it really well, didn't he? After his conversion, about the age of 33, he says, "Late have I loved you, O beauty so ancient and so new. Late have I loved you. You were within me, but I was outside. You were with me, but I was not with you. And I fell on the beautiful things of your creation for my satisfaction, not realizing that they would have not been able to exist without you. But then you broke through. By your word, you broke through in my deafness. And the beam of your light took away my blindness. And you breathed your sweet fragrance into my heart. And I tasted you. And now I pant for you. You touched me. And now I long for your love." He is within us. But we can be shutting out the reality without being aware of the indwelling presence of God and how much he wants us to become aware of him so we can be more alive as to who we really are in belonging to him, allowing him to fill us with his love. Because God is love. Now, Elizabeth of the Trinity, who was a sort of a Carmelite nun, she died at the age of 26 in 1906. But she had this great insight that heaven is within me now, she said. And I live with that joy and that hope that God is within me, that he lives within me. And I experience already an anticipation of where I'm going and what God has in store for me. Because I know him now in my heart. He lives within me. That was her basic message. And a very beautiful message it is. You see, the first way we experience this interiorness of God, we experience it by the Holy Spirit. We prayed to the Holy Spirit last Sunday, huh? For more of the Holy Spirit within us. And by the Holy Spirit within us, we can read that gospel today, and it comes alive. We read that gospel which says, God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, so that all who believe in him may not have eternal death, but may have life forever. God came into the world, sent his Son to the world, not to condemn the world, but for those who believe in him, you know, to have fullness of life. That's his purpose. That is God's purpose coming to us. And he proved it by Jesus' death on the cross. And so the Spirit within us opens up to us the truth of Jesus. We see what God has done for us. He hasn't remained separate and distant up in the sky, as it were, away from us, lost in some galaxy up there. But no, he's come to be one of us. And one of us is God. And because one of us is God, we who are united with him can be drawn into the very life of God, share in the life of the Trinity. And when Jesus was raised from the dead, the Spirit was sent from the Father through Christ to us. And so the Holy Spirit within us glorifies Jesus. Christ lives within you. And it's being able to really come into that friendship with Jesus deep in my heart, to know him as my Savior and my Lord, to experience him that way, to know the love that he has for me, so that I find myself looking at the cross not as just another object, but as a persuasive symbol of the mighty love of God for me. And I find myself living in the love of God, convinced and persuaded and overwhelmed by that love. The wounds of Jesus on the cross speak to me again and again. And to know that he's risen. And because he's risen, he's within me by the power of the Spirit. And Paul prays, doesn't he? He says a beautiful prayer. He says, standing, kneeling before the Father of all fathers, he says, may God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, may he make your inner self strong so that Christ may live in your heart through faith. Remember that. Christ may live in your heart through faith. And then planted in love and rooted in love, you'll know all the height and the length and the breadth and the depth of the love of God. So as you're filled with the other fullness of God, this is God's purpose for us in dwelling within us. He wants us to know the immensity of his love. So our hearts are filled with the knowledge of who he is. And we live our lives in hope and deep peace and serenity because God dwells within. And you might say, but there's a lot of mess in my life. There's a lot of mess in my heart. Of course there's a mess in each of us. We're a bit of a slum condition in there, isn't there, really? But you know, God loves the slum. Now, how was Jesus born? He was born in a stable, you know, a feeding trough for animals, to show us that that's how he comes to us. You know, there's a lot of, I'm going to say a bad word there, crap, is that okay? In our lives, huh? But God comes into the midst of it. He dwells in there with us. So he can change us. That's why we've come to the Eucharist. today. We've come to receive of the body and blood of the Lord Jesus himself, so that he we receive into ourselves and who dwells within us. Of course, the Eucharistic presence disappears after a while, but he comes in and stays there all the same. He dwells within us to change us, to transform us, to give us a power within that we wouldn't have had otherwise. So what comes against us, no matter what sort of things that come into our lives that could undo us, we have Christ within. He is our strength, he is our hope, he is our joy. He lives within you. We just need to become more aware. We partake of him in the Eucharist, and then we go home and forget that he's still with me. He's in me. And the Spirit within continually glorifies Jesus. And what the Holy Spirit does within too is he shows us the way to the Father. Because Jesus' purpose was to open up to us a relationship with the Father. The Father of all tenderness and mercy is spoken about in that first reading. You know, the God of all tenderness, the God of all mercy, the God of all compassion. This Father, Jesus opens up to us the truth of who the Father is. And by the Spirit within us, we're able to call him Abba, Daddy. You would have heard the story, maybe a true story, of Bilka Sheikh. She wrote a book called I Dared to Call Him Father. She's a Pakistani high-born woman, and she had some Christian servants. She herself was a Muslim, but she wasn't a very good practicing one. And her Christian servants had Bibles. And she started to get these sort of dreams that were sort of strange dreams, that she identified as Christian dreams. One was about John the Baptist, another one was the figure of Jesus. And so she asked for the use of a Bible, and she started reading the Bible. And then one of her servants got sick, and so she took the servant to the Catholic hospital that was close by. And she's sitting at the bedside reading the Bible. And one of the sisters who was running the hospitals came to her and said, "Oh, Bilkis, you're reading a Bible." And Bilkis said, "Yes, I wanted to know about your God. Tell me about your God." And the sister said, "Well, Bilkis, what you could do is when you go home, just imagine that you were sitting on your father's knee when you were a little girl." It just so happened that Bilkis had a good relationship with her dad, who was now dead. But just imagine you're sitting on your father's knee and just speak to him of your love. And so she did that. She went home and she just had a little meditation where she imagined herself sitting on her father's knee and just speaking to him of his love. And she said, "At that moment, I was filled with a warmth and love that just overwhelmed me. I was overwhelmed by the love of God. The Spirit of God came upon her." And she said, "I was able to call him Daddy, Abba, Father." What a beautiful gift. She had to leave Pakistan because otherwise her life would be threatened. But she went around the world preaching and teaching people about this gift of God as Father, that we would know him that way. And so, yes, the Spirit is within us. Jesus is within us. And the Father also is within us. That you'd be able to open up to the loving arms of the Father God. And tonight, I pray that the burning love of the Holy Spirit within you will open you up more deeply to who Jesus is in your life as your Saviour, your friend, your Lord, your Master, your Beloved. That you'll experience it that way. But your Holy Spirit within you too will open you up in and through Jesus to your love for the Father. That you'll know that you have a tender Father God who will lift you into his loving arms whenever you most need it. And it's not that you will feel this. You won't feel it. But you'll know it. It'll be the reality deep in your guts. I know it within me. And God wants you to know it. And never to doubt it. You have him within you. He's your strength and your joy, your courage. He's your hope. He's your life. He is all that matters. And what we experience now in his indwelling presence is only a shadow of what is yet to come. And all that God has in store for us in the future. He wants to bring us to completion in him. We find our deepest joy as a human being in him. And how wonderful it is to be able to live in him and to rejoice in him. And ultimately, my dear brothers and sisters, tonight, let us adore him. Let us adore him, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The angels are singing. The angels are rejoicing. And the angels are singing glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to all people of goodwill. The peace that surpasses all understanding that comes to us from this indwelling presence of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yes, and the angels are with us, and as they are in every Eucharist, all the angels and saints are praising God this night. And the whole church rises up and praises with them, because this God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a communion of love. And he draws us into that communion of love, as the second reading told us, where we'd have peace in our own hearts, we'd have peace in our relationships, we'd be known in the church, in the world, as the people who love one another, because we've experienced the God of all love in our hearts. We'd be known for the unity that we have with one another, rather than the fractured sort of state that sometimes the church is in. We'd be known by people. We'd be known as people of love. We'd be known because God dwells within us individually and corporately. So tonight, let's allow ourselves to be caught up in the living God. Let's allow ourselves to rejoice in him. Now, here's everything. Here's your last end. He's the reason for your living. He's where you're going. Life is so short, it's just a fraction of a time. Like it's over in a quick, just like that. But my dear friends, God is forever. And he has hold of your life now. Allow him to enter even more deeply into you this night through this Eucharist. Allow him to be within you. Receive him to yourself as the guest of your soul. And let your stubborn will and stubborn heart be melted by his love. Now, Pentecost, we pray, bend the stubborn heart and will. Melt the frozen, warm the chill. Yes, Lord, do that in our hearts. Enliven us again to who you are in our lives. And give us a joy that we may adore you this night. That we may exalt you with all the angels and saints. That we may be free in our spirits again to give you the glory that you're meant to have in our lives. And bless his name.